You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Time for none other than Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministries, located in downtown Carmel. We're so excited that we get to chat with her every single week and we learn more about the Christian worldview. And so good morning to you, Nancy.
Well, good morning to you, Steve and Kelly. I tell you, I look forward to these mornings.
Well, we look forward to it as well. And these questions, because it keeps us on our toes. And this is a pretty heavy question.
This is so heavy duty, Nancy. Is it wrong for Christians to communicate with the dead?
You know, it is a morbid question indeed, but so many people get sucked into this. You know, before I was a Christian, I tried going to a church where they didn't preach the gospel, so I felt very comfortable. I won't name the church, but anyway, the pastor decided one day that he was going to take our book club that he led to a medium, to a fortune teller, essentially, so we could learn our future. And it freaked me out so much that I didn't go. And I talked to some ladies after it. They said it was the darkest, scariest thing. And I'm just saying, to take people on a field trip or to drop into your local fortune teller is something that we should never do. But I think people are vulnerable after somebody they love dies. Mm-hmm. And the thought of wanting to communicate that with them directly is overwhelming and lures people into this. More people than you would ever guess have sought to communicate with those who have gone before them. And the sad thing is that those people are looking for something, communication with somebody who has passed, that simply, in reality, doesn't exist. In the dark, demonic spirit world, you know, of counterfeit, it does. And that's what I want to talk about today, because Scripture makes it very clear that we should never seek the help of necromancers, which are fortune tellers, or mediums to hear voices or to see visions of the dead. It is prohibitive because it doesn't come from God. And it's prohibitive not only in the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well. Because when we seek out mediums, which Satan uses to practice witchcraft, again, he does this with the vulnerable, those who are vulnerable, those who are heartbroken over the loss of somebody. And they'll acquiesce to this with hope that maybe that can ease their pain. And Satan and his demons, they're deceivers, and they can relate and do relate false messages that sound like the voices of the deceased through seances and other means. And hear that again. Those voices that you hear coming through mediums that sound like those who have died, those family members or whoever it is, it will sound like them. That is Satan and his deceiving, treacherous, evil way to make you believe that you're actually communicating with them. And our only hope, Christians, of communicating with those who have died will come to those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, because we will reunite with them someday in heaven for eternity. We don't need a medium for that. And we can look forward to that day. You know, Leviticus 20:27, a man or a woman who is a medium or necromancer shall surely be put to death. They should be stoned with stones and their blood will be upon them. Yes, and it sounds disgustingly awful, but that's how bad this situation is from the eyes of God. Deuteronomy 18:10-11. They'll not be found among anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or necromancer, or anyone who inquires of the dead. And I think it's something that people make light of or whatever, but this is very, very serious sin in the eyes of God, for sure.
Well, when we talk about this, you know, immediately King Saul comes to mind, right? So you point out that only one story in particular really stands out with somebody really attempting to communicate with the dead, and this was a dead judge. Yeah. And it doesn't really end well at all for Saul. So tell us a little bit about this.
That puts it lightly. But, you know, have you ever heard people say, oh, man, and I'm sorry to say I was one of those, you know what, I'd rather go to hell and be with my friends and party than go to heaven. And it isn't that way. I mean, there's going to be no party. And that's why I think it's important to talk about this. But in Samuel 28, King Saul knows that he's about to go to battle with a Philistine army that was much bigger than his army. And the wise move for Saul was to go to God and ask for help. And he did. And God did not answer him at that moment. And this is so important. I think there's so many lessons in here. God did not answer him right away. And because God did not hear directly from God, he wrongly assumed that God didn't care what was happening. And don't we do that ourselves? We pray for something and it doesn't happen right away. So we figure that God, A, didn't hear us, doesn't like us, or is choosing to ignore us. And, you know, in this particular case, Saul decided to take things into his own hand and essentially turned to satanic powers to help him plan his attack. And it seems so right to him, but yet so wrong. And he finds a medium to communicate with his friend, the prophet Saul, who had recently died. And the witch appears, again, satanic powers, appears to bring up Samuel, who was no doubt some apparition of himself, you see. And Saul just had a pattern of doing this. And along with several past transgressions, Paul trusted someone to communicate with the dead, something that scripture explicitly said not to do. And the consequences for him here were huge. He loses the battle against the Philistines. And Saul and his sons also lose their lives. So again and again and again, God is saying, please come to me. And when you don't hear me, I'm there. And I'm working, and I'm loving you. But I think this story is so good for us, followed by some scripture I want to read that is telling us that we need to, please, we need to stay within the confines of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, there's some cultures out there that are pushing this and thinking that this is the cool thing to do, to go to mediums and find out what your future is, which, by the way, they can't tell you. But Deuteronomy 18:9-14. And when you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you should not turn and follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found upon anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or fortunes or interprets or omens or charmers or mediums, any of that. For so whoever does these things is abomination. And because of these abominations, your Lord is driving them out before you. You should be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations, which you are about to dispose. Listen to those who listen to fortune tellers and diviners. Please, you know, he's begging us here. But as for you, That's the culture. As for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. And what he's saying is, look, this culture is broken. And I am telling you, stay away from it. And, you know, we see here in Chronicles 10 through 13 through 14, again, referring to Saul. So Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord. And he also consulted a medium seeking guidance. He did not seek the guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned his kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. So the bottom line is Leviticus 19, don't turn away from God. It says here, don't turn to mediums or seek spiritists. You will be defiled by them. I am the Lord, your God. And again, Isaiah 8:19 says it so clearly. When someone tells you to consult mediums or spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? And that is just so true. Why would we on earth go to somebody that is not of God to seek truth? It makes no sense. And again, no matter what scripture says, in the wisdom of God, we are to stay close to God. He will be with us in our sorrows. He will be with us in our joys, and we are not to deviate. And this is huge for us.
We move now over to Luke 16 and the parable of the wealthy man as it fits in from Jesus. Nancy, let's talk about this. What's going on in the parable of the wealthy man?
Well, remember, it's a parable. And so God, Christ, is making a point here. And I really, really, really like this story. It is so good. It's so clear. It's so simple. But really, it has so much to tell us. And this parable is of a wealthy man who dies and realizes, essentially, how horrible it is to live eternally in hell. He gets it. He's there. And he wants out. And so he begs Abraham, who he sees in heaven, he starts yelling at him or something, to just get me out and essentially let me go and tell those people. Let me warn my relatives to repent and turn to God. And Abraham responded to him and said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. So essentially is what he's saying. Look, there are people out there that they can listen to. And so he says, no, Father Abraham, if anyone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And Abraham responded, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if somebody rises from the dead. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff in here. But first of all, Hebrews 9:27 actually just came into my mind. You know, when we die, it's over. There's judgment. And there is no, oops, I made a mistake, so now I'm sorry and I want into heaven. And that is not available for us. And I think Jesus is talking about the seriousness of a commitment to Christ himself, who died for our sins and makes heaven available forever for us. We can be sure of that hope. And I think for those that think that hell is going to be this fun place, it's okay, I'm going to live there with my friends, is a lie that has come from the depths of hell. And in this parable, Jesus makes it so clear to us that heaven is forever. And for us as Christians, even though we're suffering and people we know are dying or have died and we're lonely and you can't sleep at night. And I think here, the reason why I wanted to talk about this is that God is all we need. He is the full meal deal for us. Thinking that we can find peace and hope in Satan's playground is foolish and it's dangerous. Why? Because we have an all-powerful, all-good, all-present, all-knowing, all-loving, all-merciful God to trust in the good times and in the bad times. God has given us himself. He is more than enough. And for all of us believers, the Holy Spirit, God himself, lives in us when we trust in him. That is the greatest gift as human beings that we could imagine. Not only is God for real, did Christ walk on this earth, but he said, look, when I go, I'm going to send you a comforter. And I love that word comforter, because that comforter in us is the Holy Spirit of God, who does give us comfort, who does give us joy, who does pray on our behalf, who is with us and makes living in this world that has, especially lately, turned upside down. God hasn't, and he is in control. And I think 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 just brings us back to home base today. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And there again, it's just so beautiful how God always turns this stuff around from darkness to light. And he says, look, come to me, you who are weary. And this call for us to come to him so that we might be comforted. But you see in here, the call is always to go out so that we then can go out and comfort others. What a beautiful story, not with the false promises of a medium or whatever, but with the hope of the one true God who can comfort us in the times of need, in the times of joy. He is there with us. Why? Not only for ourselves, that we can be that comfort for other people. We need to get out there and be those people that can share the great news of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is the importance of one another ministry. We, as the body of Christ, are to look to one another for these things, not to go out toward divination or other things to seek that out. We have God's wisdom. This is why we read God's word. This is why we train ourselves in worldview, and that is why you're going to go to anchorsaway.org to find out how you can be educated in these things, how you can be trained up to share that, because we have got to form this worldview and understanding of who we are as Christians. And I want to encourage everyone to go to anchorsaway.org, look at the information there, get signed up. You can do the self-paced track. You could join one of the boot camps. You can get Nancy's great Bible study that I want to encourage you to request. It's right up there at the top of the page. And so many great resources available to you. Nancy, thank you for spending time with us to unpack this question this week for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week.
Well, thank you both so much. And I just think what you do is so needed, because we all need to just pause for a minute and listen and check and see where our lives are going.
Amen.
And we all get a little bit off track. And if ever there's a call back to God, it's these days. Please, you know, trust in God. This culture has not changed him one iota, I promise. And because of that, we don't have to cave to it either.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.